We're up to page Kuf Dalid in the Ein Yaakov, which is page Nun Ches in the Talmud. So we learned about how much work Adam had to do before he had his first garment to wear. And now we're going on to the next Gemara. Huayah Omer ben Zoma, he used to say, Oreach tov ma'u omer, what does a good guest say? Kama trichot rach ba'al ha'bayit lefanai. How much did the host work? How hard he worked for me? Kama yayinevi, look at how much wine he brought to the table. Kama yayinevi lefanai. Kama basar evi lefanai, look at how much meat he brought before me. Kama gluskot evi lefanai, look at how much loaves of bread he brought before me. Kol ha-torach, all the work that he worked, shetarach, lo tarach ela bishvili, he worked so hard just for me. Aval oreach rama omer, but what does a bad guest say? Matrichot tarach ba'al ha-bayit zeh, what work did the host do? Ma yayin evi, how much wine did he bring? Ma basar evi, how much meat did he bring? Ma gluskot evi, how much bread did he bring? Kol ma shetarach lo tarach ela bishvili shto vanav. He prepared a meal for his wife and kids, and I got to eat some too. But for me, what did he do for me? Al oreach tov ma'u omer, about a good guest, what does it say? We just turned the page. Zechok itasgif ha'olo, remember how much great stuff he did. Al oreach raktiv, lachen yiru anashim. But about a bad guest, it says, that's why people look down at him. So, this is the quintessential example of Hakarat HaTov. A guy comes to Machon Meir, he could say, air conditioning, they turned on air conditioning for the rabbi, for the class, what me? I just sat in for that. Food, they cooked for their 200 students, I just got a bite out of that. For me, they didn't do anything for me. Davening, they have their own minyanim. A child can say that about his parents too. You could view everything that way. You have a job. You know how much I do for the boss? Well, what does the boss do for me? So he pays me paycheck. He gets so much more work out of me than he pays me for. Your spouse is for sure you could say that for. Sure, my wife makes me food. She needs me to have strength to go out and do work and bring her more money. Sure. My wife takes care of the kids so that I could bring her more money. You could view every relationship that way. And the Gemara is telling us an attitude of appreciation, which ultimately leads to a much better life. If you can enjoy what you have, if you could look at it as a gift. And when it comes to being a guest, this goes back to what we were discussing yesterday, right? Weren't we discussing this yesterday, the idea of appreciation in the Tomer Dvorah? We were discussing this, the idea of appreciation. You remember I told you the story of Rav Rom in the taxi? Yeah. He had a whole speech for me. Oh, you do so much for me. What do I do for him? Right. Okay. So that's this idea, and it's an attitude. You will find that you always have room to say, what did he do for me? And a person has to work the other way, to look at it the other way. Look at how much he did for me. Says in the verse, Vaish b'imez Shaul zaken bava nashim, and the man in the days of Saul was older. He was already coming among men. Amarava v'item Rav Zvid item Rav Oshaya. We have the quote from Rava Rav Zvid Rav Oshaya zeishaya v'David. This is talking about Jesse, David's father, King David's father. Sheyatza b'uchlusa v'nichnas b'uchlusa v'darash b'uchlusa. Uchlusa means a gathering. Wherever he'd go, people were around him. When he'd leave the house, he'd have people flocking around him, listening to his every word. He'd come back to the house, there were still people flocking around him. He'd give a speech, he'd have a crowd. Wherever he went, there was a crowd. Amar ula nachtinan en uchlusa bevavel. Babylon never merited to have large congregations. Tana en uchlusa pchutam shishim ribo. You want to know what's considered a congregation? That's talking about 600,000. So Yishai had 600,000 people. Wow, he had a lot of people listening to him. Tanu Rabbanan, haroe malchei Yisrael omer. We have the following quote. If you see a Jewish king, you say, Baruch shechalak mikvodo li reav. Blessed is he who gave of his honor to those who fear him. So, we generally assume that in order to have the name king, a person has to be able to do what he wants, to give the death penalty. A prime minister can't do what he wants. He has to answer up to his men about the cigars that he buys. So he definitely can't execute anyone. The justice system isn't in his control. Legally, I'm saying the system doesn't give him control over this. Could be through the Shabak. He could do a lot of what he wants, but that's no different than a mafioso. I'm saying the system doesn't really give him. I'm saying a mafioso also could bump off people. That doesn't mean he's the king. I'm saying, so it could be on a certain level. You know, the president has the CIA and people suddenly die of polonium poisoning, but technically that's not within his right. Malchei Ovdei Kochavim, what happens if a person sees a pagan king? What does he say? Omer Baruch Shantan Mechvodol Basav Adam. He makes a blessing. Blessed is he who gave of his honor to flesh and blood. Chachmei Yisrael, he who sees a wise man of Israel, Omer, he says the following, Baruch Shechalak Mechochmato Lireyav. Blessed is he that gave of his wisdom to those that fear him. So this is a special blessing, and this was said over certain people. Some people said it over Rav Kook. They said it over Rav Reuven Margolios. Rav Reuven Margaliot was a rabbi during the period of Rav Kook. He was a super, super genius. They once wanted to know where a certain phrase appears. Where's the first time it appears in Jewish literature? So Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook sent the question to him. So the story goes as follows, that he said, they asked him where the term Namadim Hemanusa appears first, trusted bread. So he sat on his bed and he said, well, let's see. In the Babylonian Talmud? No. In the Jerusalem Talmud? No. In the Medrash Tanhuma? No. He started going book by book by book in sequential order, and ruling out, doesn't show up there, doesn't show up there, doesn't show up there. Finally, he told him the first book it shows up in. So he was a super genius. It was like he wrote works which no one knows where he got his sources from. He wrote works just putting together all the facts he has in his head. And he wrote works which were very interesting. But then everyone came back and said, where'd you get that from? So he said, well, isn't it obvious? And he started rattling off. So then he saw people can't follow his books. So he started writing footnotes. And the footnotes are bigger than the book. You have two lines of the book, and then two pages of footnotes. But the footnotes are brilliant. Like he writes about we have this concept of Tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. So he has four pages of footnotes of sources before Rabbeinu Tam, where we have this idea that there's another order to the Parashios and Tefillin. So about him, they made this blessing. I was told that over Rav Soloveitchik, there were many rabbis who made this blessing. And we'll pick up here, Bezat Hashem, next week. We're out of time. Time for supper.